we prayed, you know, before the service that he would just pour out his spirit. And I think he did, you know. It's hard to mistake when God is at work, you know. And I think he said things to us that maybe we weren't expecting or whatever, you know. Because you always have a few different crowds at men's days, right? Some come for the food, and other people come for the food. You know what I mean? So I think and God gave us the food. He gave us the spiritual food for sure. And certainly it was a place that everyone felt welcome, and it was a good, I'll say it was a good, exhortation even from that to us. How the Geneva Christian Fellowship really exemplified Christ, you know, in everything, you know. They you know, sometimes we'll go to the second chapter of Acts and we'll read through the account of this, the birth of the church, and we'll almost wish we were there. But I think some churches are closer than others, to tell you the truth. And I want our church to be there. I don't think we're there. I don't think we're there yet. And I don't want that to be a discouraging statement, but I think it's a place that we thrive to be, that we want to be welcoming to people. We want to put away some of our hesitation to welcome people, to serve people, to really go out of ourselves. You know, go out of ourselves, you know. And of course, you know, Pastor Mark's a great guy, and he is. I've known him now for, better part of probably 15 years, you know. And Mark and I weren't always the closest, I'll say. Because we were on the same turf. And we started an evangelistic outreach, and then Mark came in later, and it was kind of a weird relationship for a while, to tell you the truth. But over the years, I know he's praying, you know, and I know his heart is just so into just his church, his people. He just loves them. And I'll say that he doesn't know you guys, but he loves you. You know, when we first mentioned that whole men's day, it was actually Noah's idea. He said, "Why don't we do it at Geneva? Because it's kind of central, you know. Why don't we do it there rather than," you know, I wasn't going to do it at all, you know. I felt like we weren't in a position, the church was, building was crazy, and I was like, I don't know if I really want to do it this year, you know. And so I threw it out there to the guys when we went to the castle with them, and you know, Mark was like, "Let's do it. You know, let's do it. But it's yours." He kept saying this to me. It's all yours, Fred. It's, you know, I want you guys to be blessed. And I think we're blessed. Isn't it wonderful to do that for somebody else? He didn't have to do that for us. Right? But he wanted to bless us. He wasn't getting anything out of it. It was a total blessing to us. He got nothing out of it. He said, well, yeah, we charged $10. He gave it all to us. Every guy that paid their $10, it's in our bank account, okay? I just want you to know that people love us. I know that the building can be overwhelming. It can be to me. It can be very overwhelming in what we're trying to do when things aren't working and things aren't going the way maybe we want them to go, you know. But God isn't necessarily conventional. You know, me and Keith talked about this the other day, just about his job situation and how it's sometimes when God does things, he's not conventional about it. We say, well, let's go get a realtor. So we've tried to do that, and it isn't working. I'm not sure what exactly God's going to do, but he's going to do something because I really sense that he doesn't want us to quit, right? He doesn't want us to pull up and move on kind of thing. He wants us to stick tight, and he wants us to move forward. He really wants us to move forward. And so, you know, it's a struggle, right? And we just need to, I don't know, you know, I just think we need to, you know, be in fellowship, and it's important. You know, the fellowship of the saints and Acts, they pulled together, they taught the scriptures, they did the things that fellowships do, and we progress onward, you know. I woke up this morning with a burden, you know. A good burden, you know. I think any time the Lord gives you the burden, it's good. Because it's light, you know, you don't have to carry it with a, you don't have to buy a 10-wheeler to carry it. You know, you just kind of go, okay, Lord, you had something to speak here, you speak. And we could have went to Hebrews this morning. I was reading through Hebrews this morning again, and Hebrews 6 there, the end of the chapter, and I was thinking, I just sense the Lord not wanting us there right now, and so, you know, we're going to look at chapter 3 of Acts, and I don't know, you know, I just feel like the Lord has something more for us here, and I see it as an exciting time. I know that, you know, my tears might say that that maybe I'm upset or something, but they're not really that way, you know. I just saw the goodness of the Lord, and guys, this weekend, and I see God's goodness, you know, and, you know, one of the teachings that Pastor Scott gave, Scott Hawthorne up in Ithaca, he looked at the man of Hosea, and you know, Hosea was one that was instructed by God to marry a woman that was gonna be a harlot, you know, and God knew that, and it was a relationship that really defined God's relationship and Israel's relationship, and the harlotry that went on there, and so forth. And one of the things at the end of Scott's message was he said that we're all Gomers. We're all Gomers, you know. Often we have the spirit of harlotry in our relationship with God. But you know what? If you look at Hosea carefully, you'll find that certainly it gives us God's heart for his people. And it allows us to see how God feels about certain things, like sin. He hates sin, you know. You kind of get that picture in there. Certainly there would be judgment among the people of God that would be for the purpose of drawing them back in. And ultimately, God loved his people, Israel. And he still loves us, you know. He loves us. He doesn't care how big we are. That's not the ambition. The ambition is not, you know, it is always to grow the people here in faith, that they would trust God more and more, and that they'd, in that trust, that they'd step out in places that maybe they'd never stepped out in. You know, Israel, when they crossed into the Promised Land, stepped into a Jordan they had never stepped into before. It was a spring Jordan, and it was heavily rained upon, and it was overflowing its banks, and God miraculously took and he pushed those waters back into a heap. It's hard to think of it as a heap, but it was like a heap of dirt in a sense. Just pushed it back into those heaps, and God provided a way, but the people had to step first. You know, there's always that act of faith. And I think that we as a church are in a position that we have to be faithful. It's God's proven himself. He has sustained us. You know, we've been, Karen and I and the family have been down here for some 12 years this August, and he has sustained this church. I'm not even sure I could understand why and how and all that, right? But he's sustained us somehow, you know? And here we are. It's not by accident. It's not by some phenomenon, right? It's not anything other than the Lord has done that. And so I think he calls us into this walk of faith, that we have to just trust him, that his ways might seem unconventional. The things that he has us to say to people might be unconventional, but they're going to be proper. They're going to be exactly perfect what the Lord wants us to do. So we just need to be faithful. So I wanted to look at this. I know we've looked at it before, and you've probably studied it personally, but I just would like to look at this lame man here. So let's first of all just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your wonderful love for us, Lord. Even while we're still Gomers, Lord, we know we need you, and we desire you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us this morning and have your way with us this morning and just make sense of my tears, Lord, and make sense of the scripture, Lord, and to us. And may we just look toward you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So when the church was birthed, we know what took place there. The Holy Spirit fell upon the church there and filled the believer. You know, it was something that the Lord had told them was going to happen, that outflow. I think it's in John chapter 7 there. And there was growth, and there was, you know, the message from Peter there, and we see a growth in the church, and you know, they recognized that they were saved from perversity. They were living in a perverse generation, and they were saved from it. And it says there that there was thousands, right, saved and come to know the Lord, and it's pretty easy to get excited about those things, those events that take place, and then all of a sudden we forget God. It is easy to see many come to Christ and ministry flourish and then forget the one that has been faithful through it all. And really, anytime you see a revival in history, you know one thing: those people didn't deserve it. Those people didn't deserve it. When we look at Jonah, and you know, when Adam was going through that, we saw Nineveh. They never deserved revival, but God gave it to them. And so, God's always faithful, and He never loses that. But He asks us to be faithful. But look at, you know, here's a couple guys that were pretty steadfast, that saw the revival, you could say, the revival of the Holy Spirit there in the first book of first couple chapters of Acts there, and they could have lost it. They could have went and thought they did it all, and didn't continue to follow God and trust in Him faithfully, right? But look at it. It says, now Peter and John went up together. They went up together. They didn't do it alone. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's an interesting hour, that hour of prayer. Back in John 19, we see that Jesus would say there in the ninth hour, it would seem that it is finished. You know, it is finished, and it happens to be the time in which they would go up to the temple for this hour of prayer. It was a Jewish tradition, but I think sometimes God would put those Jewish traditions together so that they wouldn't forget, you know. When the time came, when Jesus was crucified, that when he took upon Himself the sins of the world, and He hung on the cross, and He said, "It is finished," they could see the faithfulness of God that led Him there to that prayer meeting. And they continued to come to the prayer meeting because the prayer meeting was important. It was a place in which they met with God. And I would beg to say that the hour that we're in today is it's important to pray. Why? Because any wisdom I have might be null and void. We need the wisdom of the Lord. Right? Because it might be a hour that's not conventional, that we've not seen before, and you know, we need to seek the Lord. So as they approached, they said, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. There is a certain thought here. This gate here was some 75 feet or so high. It wasn't something that was it was probably the biggest gate. It was the most impressive gate, and it led there into the temple. And it was probably beautiful because it was plastered with gold and silver and so forth, and you probably couldn't miss it. And it was a seemingly known thing that if those that were entering into the temple were certainly going to have something with them that they could give. And so the mother there laid, or whoever laid him there at the temple, it says, they laid him daily. How would you like that job every day? Just set him at the temple gate with his, you can kind of visualize it, right? With his cup there, just waiting for someone to bow over. And, you know, Peter and John weren't the first ones, I'm sure, or the last ones that he would request from. Maybe they were the last ones because they gave him the truth. But every day, asking for them alms, and alms would only keep him for a certain amount of time, or else he would be back at the gate. Or he wouldn't be back at the gate if it was to supply all their needs. So it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. And it says, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter asked him, look at us. Look at us. Peter and John went into the temple. The man would beg from them as well as everybody else. Many would walk by him, I'm sure. Have you ever been out on a busy street? Have you ever been out on, if you've been in New York City, you've been through it. Any big city's got their beggars out there that we walk by and we try not to hear them begging. We try not to make eye contact with them, because if we make eye contact with them, oh boy, that draws them right in, right? But I think sometimes, the whole thing here is that Peter says, I want to talk to you. I don't want to necessarily, we're not going to necessarily give to you, but we're going to give to you by talking to into your eyes. You know, that whole eye contact thing, right? You can kind of tell when somebody's not truthful with you, can you? By their eyes. They don't want to make that eye contact with you. They're saying things, but they're looking down here. Because the truth isn't in them. But Peter says, I want to give you the truth. I want to give you truth. And I think as a faithful people, we give truth. Right? We give truth. Sometimes it's hard to give truth. You know why? Because you know that when, even at the men's day, one of the guys came up to me and said, thanks for challenging me. Right? It's not always easy to challenge people. Because you know that you're going to kind of disrupt them a little bit. You're going to stir them. But people that are faithful to the Word of God are going to throw them out there and going to test them a little bit, going to fix their eyes on them and challenge them. And I think God wants to challenge us today. He wants to challenge us where we walk and what we do. A lot of people say that they follow the Lord, but do they follow the Lord? Right? It's easy to say, isn't it? I follow the Lord. Okay, that's cool. I mean, I used to joke with Noah. He used to say, this guy and that guy were Christians in the NFL. I said, you know what? Everybody in the NFL is Christians. They all say they are. Right? Right after the game. I just want to give God thanks. And then they go out and they hit the bars, right? But as God's people, I think we want to be faithful to the Word of God. So we're going to present it as such. We're going to present the truth. Oh, you know, it even says that the Word of God is like a double-edged sword, you know? Cuts through marrow and bone and so forth. And it's like, yeah, it's painful sometimes. But Peter says, I want you to look at me. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. His expectation was different than what he received. His expectation was that Peter and John was going to do as everybody else did and throw him something. But really what they were going to do, as we'll see, is that they're going to hand him something. More valuable than any silver or gold, anything that the world would produce, they were going to be faithful to give that to them, to him. And it said, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now we kind of breeze through that verse a little bit there, and we think, "Wow, yeah, you know, we're talking about we're talking about Peter and John, the apostles." And of course, they would say this kind of thing. But you know how much faith that took? How much faith it took for them to say, "Rise up and walk." tremendous. And it wasn't faith in their own ability. What they had to give, they had nothing to give, but they knew that God was going to give this man exactly what he needed in order to respond to these commands, rise up and walk. And I think for us as a church to walk, we have to walk by faith. For us to rise up, we have to rise up by faith. It was faith that Peter and John would present this to him, and it was faith by faith that he would receive it. We have to have faith that God is in control, that he's going to mark out every step of this adventure. There's going to be some parts of the trail that you don't want to travel on. There's going to be others that we're going to come back and rejoice in. But we have to remember along the way that he is faithful. And it says Peter took him, the beggar, by the right hand and lifted him up. There was strength there in that right hand. And of course, the Lord, he sits at the right hand of the Father. And so we see great strength in the right hand in Scripture. He grabbed a hold of him. And it said immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. They came back together. It's miraculous. It's miraculous. Nobody would have said, this is how you do this. They didn't have a recipe to do this. All they had was that they had faith in God, that God cared about this man that sat lowly at this gate, at this extremely beautiful gate. And God's going to ask of us to walk in faith as we do things in this building or not. As we step out in certain areas, people might not agree with us. People might not like how we're doing certain things, but we got to remember that, you know, we're going to trust the Lord for this. Some of you might not agree necessarily what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen exactly right now. But I will tell you this much, that my prayer life's increasing. Right? And I need it to be. And I need your prayer life to increase so that I can walk straight, you know, that I can be doing the right things for us. Right? But it's going to be a walk of faith. It's going to be a trusting in the unknown, you know. Stepping where we don't know how we're ever going to step that way. Look, we're not a rich church. We're not one that can give a lot. We don't have a lot to, you know, if we could, we would demolish the building and probably build a building, right, kind of thing. That's not in our economy. That's not in our economy. That means that we have to, right? We have to trust God. Because what we have to do is undoable. It's unfeasible. We get out, we search through all our finances, and we find out that we're way behind. And we're not going to start up a church fund. We're not going to ask you to pledge, you know, your $250,000 for the next, you know, whatever. We're not going to do that. We're going to walk by faith, right? If God, you know, if God presses upon your heart to give, praise the Lord. Give. If He doesn't, then pray. It might not be your part to give financially. It might be that you just walk in faith and pray. All right? It's interesting because I think God's people step up at the right time. I was talking to Bruce up at from Geneva, and I remarked at one point about their parking lot. I said, "Oh, your parking lot looks so nice." You know, I'm thinking of ours out here. It's got this big swimming pool in it and so forth. And he said, "Yeah, we had it redone last year. It was $70,000. I go, "Wow." He goes, "Yeah, the church paid $15,000 for it." I go, "What?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, we just told people we were doing it. That was it. And the money came in." See, you don't have to beg. You don't have to beg for, you know, we don't have to get up here and beg. We're just saying, let's walk by faith, right? Let's walk by faith. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord together, you know. That's why I think it's important that we're all here. I don't like the empty chairs when I know they can be filled by people that aren't here. We need to be together during this time. I know people are online and, I'm telling you not to reach deep in your pocket, reach deep into your heart and say, why do we belong to this church? If we belong to this church, then we need to be here. Don't say you're going to Calvary Chapel if you're listening just online and you think that's good. Now, I understand people are sick for a period of time, and I get that, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But there comes a time when you need to get up and you need to get in fellowship. It's a command. We shouldn't forsake the fellowship of the saints. We need to be in it. I'm not telling anybody anything new here. I'm just saying this is what needs to happen. Right? We need to be faithful. First step in faithfulness, come to church. Second step of faithfulness, serve at church. Well, I don't have any talents or skills. Can you wash a window? I did this morning. I washed that window out there on the door. Somebody puked on it or something. I have no idea what it was on there, but it was nasty. I washed it. The body of Christ functions as the body of Christ. The arm should be with the body. The head should be with the body. The foot should be with the body. We just need to be faithful. I want you to think about faithfulness this week. Because our faithfulness... See, our faithfulness through this journey is going to have some appeal to some people out there. They're going to see our faithfulness to the Lord. And it's going to be an example. It's going to be a witness to those that see it. Like, you know, why are they acting as such? Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. I like that because he didn't just get up himself, but he got helped up. How do you get helped up if you're not here? If you're not fellowshipping with people? Right? And again, if there's a way that we can help you get up, let us know. Don't be prideful. Right? If we need to help you up, let's do it. We're the body of Christ. And through that action of two that were faithful to each other, it says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up and stood and walked and entered into the temple with them. See, he took them in him into the temple with him. He was healed. He didn't just go home. Just didn't go home. He was healed and he went into the temple. He went into the prayer meeting. He went into the temple to worship the Lord. And it says, walking and leaping and praising God. We can only imagine this, but see, this isn't just some little nice little story here that we're reading in our scriptures. This is true stuff. This is what Peter and John experienced with a man that was not able to walk. And in that moment of time, they gave him exactly what he needed, and that was Jesus, the ultimate healer of our soul. Jesus fixed them. He didn't fix himself. You know, we don't have to come ready, already fixed. Jesus never makes us come already fixed. He wants to fix us. He wants to do that work in our lives. I'm glad that we have the opportunity to spread the good news through the website and through Zoom and through YouTube and all that, but it's not the end all. We, you know, as believers, we need to gather together and be together so that we can help each other. We need not to be afraid to ask each other. You know, I if you need something, ask me. And if I can help you, I'll say I can help you. If I say I can't help you, I can't help you. But you don't ask, you don't get, right? It's a principle. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. There is this vision of faith that people had from the outside. They saw the faith happen. They saw this man's faith. They saw John and Peter's faith. And I'm certain that they saw that the faith was in God, because it says here that they praised God for this. They gave him the credit for it. And that's important, you know, as we step through some of these things, it's important to continually come back and say, thank you, Jesus. Give him the praise. What happened here was not Fred's doing, it was the Lord's doing. That's what we want, right? That's what we want. We want to give him the glory. And it says, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. There was a change in this man that was evident. It was evident. Why? Because of faith in God. Do you think it was easy for Peter and John to do what they did? I don't think so. You know, it makes it so, it reads it such that you feel like, well, this is what Peter did. But I think it was because of the Holy Spirit, because Peter showed us himself sometimes. He just wanted to kind of, when he wanted to walk on water, that was something extraordinary. He wanted to experience that. But this, he had nothing in it, it seemed. He was just helping this person get to Christ. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Are you filled today with wonder and amazement of what the Lord is doing? I think we need to be. We need to take note of everything that the Lord is going to do. And we need to give him honor. It could be the smallest of things. But can we stand in wonder and amazement in that? In Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" And I think that that is the testimony of the church, is that we don't take credit. We don't take credit for what God does. Right? This is just preparation to where we're going. And I think God is going to lead us into areas in which we could actually take credit for what He's going to do. And this message to us today is to be faithful as He is faithful. Even be faithful in the impossibles. If God asks you to put your hand on somebody and pray a prayer of healing, do it. Right? If He tells you to go to a certain area, certain street, certain house, be faithful and do it. You know? Whatever He asks, do it. And I think along the way we'll see these glorious things happen as we walk, and there's going to be a temptation for us to say, well, Calvary Chapel or Fred or somebody within our midst did this thing. No, we are vessels of His, and we are honoring vessels. So we're going to give praise to God. We're going to praise Him for all that He does. When we get to where we're going, we're going to be able to look back and say, God provided once again. He sustained us and He allowed us to go in a certain direction. And we're going to give praise to the Lord, and people are going to be amazed at what God has done, you know. And that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. But I really think that to be faithful, one of the first steps that we got to take is that we got to be diligent about our prayer lives. I don't know where your prayer life is, but I know my prayer life isn't what it should be. I need to pray more. I need to pray more for our church. I need to pray more for each one of you. I just do. And that's not that I haven't been, but I need to pray more. You know, and I think if we could take just a snippet from here, as Paul and John went to the temple to pray to the Lord, they were faithful on their way there. They weren't in a hurry just to fill an obligation to get there and pray. But along the way, they did things that were according to the Lord, what the Lord wanted them to do. They were faithful along the way, not just for the prayer meeting. We need to pray, but we need to be faithful along the way, right? There's a lot of work to be done between now and then. I've got a list in my head of things before we even move out of this building. And we just need to be faithful in the work. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. You know, Your scriptures never lie to us, always faithful to us, Lord, always speaking to us, Lord. You know, You've been true to us. You've been faithful to us. Lord, let us be faithful. Let us be faithful, Lord. Let us be faithful in our walk, Lord, with You. Let us be willing to meet You, Lord, where You want us to meet You and do the things in which You've asked us to do, Lord, and help us to have, help us, Lord, along the way here and in this journey, Lord, It can be overwhelming at times, Lord, as we look at the whole picture. All you ask us to do is to take that one step, Lord, and to be faithful to you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We give you the praise, Lord, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.